Today's Mr. Media Interviews podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Why Audible? Because I use it myself. Let me give you an example. Lots of people probably bought the hardcover edition of Bruce Springsteen's new memoir, Born to Run. That's great. Keep reading alive. But wouldn't that book be even more fun if Bruce read it to you himself? Give a listen to Born to Run as read by the author.
Walls and ceiling. Then I drift to sleep. Tucked inside the greatest and saddest sanctuary I have ever known, my grandparents' house. I live here with my sister, Virginia, 1 year younger, my parents, Adele and Douglas Springsteen, my grandparents, Fred and Alice, and my dog, Saddle. We live literally in the bosom of the Catholic Church, with the priest's rectory, the nuns' convent, the St. Rose of Lima Church and Grammar School, all just a football's toss away across the field of wild grass. Though he towers above us, here God is surrounded by man. Crazy men, to be exact.
It's pretty spectacular, right? Especially when you get to the E Street Band's origin story, as told to you by Bruce himself. That's you and Bruce alone in your head for 18 hours and 16 minutes. I've been to some long Bruce shows in my life, but nothing that lasted almost a full day. Now, right now, as a listener of Mr. Media Interviews, you can get a free audiobook download, and maybe you'll choose Bruce Springsteen's memoir, Born to Run, and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/mrmedia. That's Mr. Media. Let me repeat it. audibletrial.com/mrmedia. And look, when you finish Born to Run, you'll find more than 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Hi, this is Rich Scheidner. And if you've ever wondered what it was like to be a stand-up comedian in the 1980s, I'm going to do you a big favor. Instead of billions of dollars for a time machine, you can just spend $24.95 and buy my new book, Kicking Through the Ashes, My Life as a Stand-Up in the 1980s Comedy Boom. It will save you money and give you thrills. It will take you there. Go to my website, richscheidner.com. Go to amazon.com and buy this book.
Hi, this is Tamara Lush, author of Tell Me a Story, and you're watching Mr. Media.
I'm Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You can see, hear, and read more than 1,000 of my previous celebrity interviews at mrmedia.com. That's mrmedia.com. Subscribe to the show on YouTube, iTunes, Apple News, Google Play, or Stitcher, and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. On today's show, I'll talk to Tamara Lush, Associated Press news reporter by day, erotic romance novelist by night. She'll join me to discuss her latest book, The Five-Part Sexual Odyssey, Tell Me a Story. Stick around. I would love to poke around inside the mind of Tamara Lush and listen directly to whatever her inner narrator whispers to her during the course of a day. In the last 2 years, the veteran Associated Press news reporter has carved out a new media landscape for her off-duty hours as a hot contemporary romance writer with an erotic voice that will leave many readers gasping for air. In her third full-length novel, Tell Me a Story, and it's actually five stories depending upon how you consume it, which I'll let her explain in a minute, Lush expands upon the promise found in her first novel, Hot Shade. The story, plot, and characters have greater depth, and the sex is even more intimate and moving. Women, I think, will find in Lush a young woman's voice that speaks to them. And guys, believe it or not, if you're willing to take a flyer on erotica other than, you know, Penthouse Letters or 60-second YouPorn clips, you will be surprised how quickly and all-consuming Tell Me a Story is. And this is the author's second appearance on Mr. Media. Tamara Lush, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Thank you for having me.
Always good to see you. I love the title of your book, and it's just wild that you figured out a way to present it as either a single massive 500-page novel or, I think, five individual but interrelated novellas. How does it work? Explain to people how this is set up.
Well, Tell Me a Story is a five-episode serial novel. It was originally conceived as just the one novella in the beginning, because you can read the one novella in the beginning and end there, and everything ends happily for now for the characters Caleb and Emma. But I liked the characters. I fell in love with the characters, and I wanted to write more. So I wanted to write about marriage and lust and temptation and memory and love. And so I wrote it as almost an old time serial newspaper serial with sexy times. That's what I like to say. So, so it was originally conceived to be read on ebook, on the phone mostly, because that's the way a lot of romance readers are reading now, is on their phones and also on Kindle and on their computer and on their iPads. But it's really book candy for the phone, for people who don't have a lot of time, who have little snippets of time and just want to read a short, fun, sexy story with a little bit of suspense, a little bit of humor. I also like to call it sort of erotic chick lit, because I feel like it has a real chick lit kind of voice, as opposed to a traditional romance voice. It's written in first person. It's all from the heroine's perspective. So really, the print book, it is long, and I would have never set out to write such a huge book. It would have been too daunting to think of that in the beginning. But as a newspaper reporter, as a wire service reporter, I think in chunks. I think in almost serials. So this, everything, their story made sense to me in five parts.
Is this an uncommon format for romance books? I read them as I come to them, in terms of, you know, when I have a guest whose work intrigues me, but I don't read dozens of them by the month. But right. I thought this seemed like an unusual format for almost any kind of fiction.
I think that serialized fiction is being done a lot in sci-fi, fantasy. There are some authors who do serialized romance fiction. Beth Carey, who actually gave me a blurb for the book, she has done some excellent, excellent romance fiction in serialized form. She does 8-episode series about the same couple. I really like her and look up to her a lot. And there's a few others, not many, but I think that there are also people who are writing about various characters, in interconnected characters in novella form, and calling it a series. I think, you know, as people's attention spans wane, and as people read on their phones more, I think that it makes sense for the genre.
And so if someone... And we're going to talk about the book a little more, but if someone wants to buy Tell Me a Story, and hopefully they do, is it available in print, or is it strictly available as an ebook?
Well, all of the episodes are available on ebook on all platforms: Amazon, iBooks, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, All Romance, that's another publisher. They're all available there. The print book of all 5 episodes combined is available on Amazon.
Oh, it is. Okay. So people can order it in print.
Yes.
But I'm guessing, from what you tell me and from what other romance novelists have said, more books move via ebook these days, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I haven't, the print book came out only a week ago. And I've sold a few. It's actually a great thing for book signings. People like to see the physical book in book signings, and the book is really pretty itself, and
it
the cover is really pretty. So people like that, and especially if they know me as an author, they want it signed. It's almost like a bonus for my readers. It also looks, I have to say this, from a marketing perspective, it looks beautiful on Instagram. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to put out a book, because I knew the cover would be gorgeous. And I knew that would be a great selling point for the ebooks.
Mm-hmm. And so are the ebooks sold individually or sold as one?
They're sold individually as of now. I probably, I'll talk a little bit about this later, but I'm writing a 6th episode about a secondary character. So probably in 2017, I will bundle the first 3 and then the second 3. Or maybe I'll bundle them all eventually. Again, it's kind of all about a marketing tool and when things are selling and not selling and promotions. And for right now, the 5 are available, each as individual ebooks. The first one is free. And the other 5 are, the other 4 are 99 cents each. So it really, you know, for less than a cup of coffee, you get 500 pages of sexy times.
Wait a minute. Should an Associated Press reporter be selling a book like it's heroin? The first one is free. I saw you laugh as soon as it came out of your mouth. I knew we were both thinking the same thing. You know, that first taste is free, but after that, we got you hooked.
You know, there is the whole thing about free content. I mean, I think as newspaper reporters, we know the danger of giving content away for free. And it's something that I grapple with as an author, because I didn't get into this to get into a second dying business. And
just cut to the chase right there.
I mean, quite frankly, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm guessing, you know, you were thinking the same thing. I don't want to give my work away for free. It does amuse me when readers say, oh, she just put out 5 books just to make more money. Well, all 5 books are $3.98. I'm not making, you know, I'm not able to quit my day job as a journalist, and nor do I want to, because I love being a reporter. But I wrote the story in 5 parts not to make money and not to sell more books, but because I felt that was the way the story should be told in snippets, just like radio serials were told that way. It's a storytelling technique, and I chose to do it that way because I picked the high points of Emma and Caleb's life.
Of course, if Tell Me a Story was a radio serial, there'd be a lot of auto accidents in the country, because people would be going like, right off the road, you know, they'd be listening and, you know.
But again, you know, I said this during Hot Shade when we interviewed together in Hot Shade. For the romance genre, it's not all that crazy. It's not all that steamy for the romance genre. More often than not, people are saying, wow, what a sweet story.
Well, it is a sweet story, but so I'm not going to be reading any higher volume of romance novels that I am, but, you know, it's pretty steamy.
It's steamy, but it's not, you know, I think that in the romance genre today, things that were once probably considered erotica or erotic romance, where it's still a romance where there's a happily ever after at the end, I think now those things are more contemporary romance. And the erotica and erotic romance is even more extreme. And this does not, I mean, this is erotic romance, but this is nowhere near what, you know, I mean, I've been number one for the first episode. I've been number one in the UK, Australia, Canada for the free erotic romance. Mm-hmm. And it's really vastly different than what else is on those charts.
Okay, but if you want to read something where there's one couple, a man and a woman, and they're having an intimate relationship and things happen, this is steamy enough. I mean, if you want to see 3 people and 4 people, or 2 people and a dog, or 2 people and
a dragon,
an alien and a dragon, right. Yeah, right. I mean,
there's not a
that's
heavy
not for
BDSM.
Everybody.
There's not a heavy BDSM theme to it. There's not, you know, there's a lot more that could be done and has been done and is done every day. I think that you would be more shocked by other romances. Mine is really not that shocking.
Okay, but there's a little BDSM.
There's a I toy with things. There's a lot that I toy with and try to flip the conventions of the romance genre in it. There's a lot of kind of inside jokes to myself, honestly. Even the title, Tell Me a Story, it was largely due because when you write romance, one of the first things you hear from, you know, contests and critique partners, not my critique partner because she's awesome. I need to plug her. Her name is Kat Fator. She's written an excellent 5-book series herself. We met at a Harlequin romance contest on Twitter. But a lot of people tell you in the romance genre, don't tell us, show us the story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that kind of goes against something that probably a lot of people in literary fiction or lovers of literary fiction, in literary fiction, you're told a story. And so that's why I called it that, because I'm telling you a story. Okay. Tell me a story.
Well, so we've talked around it, but let's actually talk about the story at the heart of Tell Me a Story.
Sure.
It starts in a story brothel, which had I not wandered into one briefly – intentionally, I knew what it was. I didn't quite know what it was. I would think that was something that you made up out of whole cloth, but it's not. So let's start there. Tell folks about what a story brothel is and kind of what's at the core of Tell Me a Story.
Sure. Tell Me a Story begins with story brothel. And this is where I got the idea for the entire book. It was about this time last year, actually it was probably in October of last year, Tiffany Rosano of Wordier Than Thou in St. Petersburg said, would you like to be part of Story Brothel here in St. Petersburg? And of course that was like, what is Story Brothel? That sounds so odd, you know? And it is. It basically, it like everything else that Wordier Than Thou does. It's a little crazy and it's a lot of fun. And it's basically writers reading their work to people for money. And it's completely innocent and it's completely fun. And I did it and made like $15. But I
the hard way.
Right, the hard way. But, you know, it's a way to get together and drink and hang out and read fiction or nonfiction or essays to each other. And it's super fun. But I got to thinking that that would be a really fun way for two characters to meet. That if there was an erotica writer and a handsome man and she read him her erotica. And so that's where the core of the story or the beginning of the story begins, basically. At Story Brothel in Orlando, only in my story, it's half of the proceeds go to charity. And Emma,
so you're out $750.
Right, so you're out $750. And Emma, our character, our heroine, thinks she's going to be out $750 because it's just going to be sort of geeky guys, and she'll read her steampunk romance. But and her best friend Sarah is kind of the MC of Story Brothel, and so Emma thinks, you know, I'll just read my steampunk romance and make a little bit of money and whatever. And so she's at a bar and a man wants to hear her read. And so she decides to read him her selection of erotica. And he takes out his wallet and it turns out he's very wealthy and he's older and he's handsome, but he's not handsome in a really traditional way. He's a little offbeat. And that's their journey begins right there at Story Brothel.
And over the course of the five books, I don't know how much you want to give away, so I'm letting you kind of lead on this. They're together through the five books. We can say that, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, anyone can read the reviews and kind of figure out what happens. So it's okay.
Okay. So what I thought was interesting was, yeah, we go through the early stages of romance. There's more that develops. They develop a real relationship over the course of the five novellas. Was this more – I mean, it's – you know, in print, it's 514 pages. It says a lot. It's a lot to really live in the skin of these two people, plus the people around them. Was it more challenging to you than, say, Hot Shade? Did you feel that you got to develop the characters and the situations more? It seemed to me that you did. So,
yeah, I think that, honestly, it was in some ways easier because I think that first person comes easier to me. It's probably my truer voice than Hot Shade, my truer writing voice than Hot Shade. And I just had a lot of fun with the characters. I mean, the first one, there was a little bit of humor in it. And then, you know, the second one is the second episode is almost, you know, with the exception of the sex, it's a pretty pure chick lit trope, really. A woman who has her career, who wants to get married, who isn't sure if her boyfriend wants to commit. It's a pure chick lit trope. Mm-hmm. And even in the third, it's a bit of a chick lit trope. And then it takes kind of a darker turn in episode 3 and episode 4. It gets very dark. And, you know, episode 4 represents sort of the black moment in any romance novel. Episodes 4 and part of 5, you know, it mirrors a romance novel in the arc. There's an arc to all of the characters and to the story throughout the series.
Yeah, it's it does take a very dark turn. I was like, whoa, wait, what? I didn't see that one coming. That was good.
Right.
I mean, that's good in these kind of books. If you cannot see a twist, that's a good thing.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. No. And I think it had to do that to go 500 pages.
Sure.
It couldn't all be, you know, happy sex and, you know.
Right, because it starts as a fairy tale. That's the whole point, is it starts as a fairy tale. And as Emma later says in book 5, every relationship starts as a fairy tale, or it should. It starts with this fantasy of lust and, you know, the potential, and then reality sets in. And really what the book ends up being is kind of a metaphor for marriage in many ways.
I got to ask, Caleb, where do you get these names? I mean...
I don't know.
I don't know either. And I have to say, I actually have... friends who have a son named Caleb. I get that. Uh-huh. But it's a little out of the norm for, but I guess, is that fitting in the romance genre to have a name like Caleb or Jeremiah, you know?
I don't know. I mean, there were, you know, I the only issue I had with the names is that I initially named Caleb and then his brother Colin before I really knew the full extent of Colin's involvement later on in the story. So the two C names, that was difficult because I had to make sure I was referring to the right brother. So
you mentioned that you're doing another story spun off of this, I think. Is that going to be Colin or is that going to be Sarah?
It'll be Colin's story. It's Colin's story because a lot of readers have expressed their desire for Colin to have his happy ever after.
Caleb's little slutty brother.
Caleb's little slutty brother.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
He meets the woman of his dreams.
Is she actually 20 different women? Because that would seem, you know, like if he married like Sybil, that would seem appropriate for him because he seems to like a series of women as opposed to.
Actually, he meets his mirror image.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. And when will we see that book?
That will be out in January, mid-January. Actually, I'm actually finishing it up for National Novel Writing Month almost as we speak.
Okay.
And it's a novella. It won't be, you know, some people have asked, oh, will there be a five-part series about Colin? And I'm like, no, we can't do that. I can't, you know, these characters they're going to live their best lives and go away. Sort of. Although I will put a pause on that, I will say something else about them. But the Colin story will be out on January 17th, the day that I go on the Amtrak residency. I was chosen for the Amtrak residency, one of 24 writers chosen to ride Amtrak and write.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So it's exactly what it sounds like?
It's exactly what it sounds like. I can write whatever I want. I probably won't be writing any news, but since I'll be doing something around the inauguration, I'm not sure, since I'll be riding around on the inauguration. So my plan is to focus on my main 2017 project, which is Constant Craving, and that will also be in serial form, and it's about a newspaper publisher and her ex-boyfriend, a sexy Cuban-American private equity investment fund manager.
Of course it is. All right, so you opened the door here. You mentioned the inauguration, so I'm going to ask you the question that is on the minds of all women who read romance books,
okay,
or at least their editors. What will Donald Trump's presidency mean to the romance novel? Will it mean hotter times or cooler times?
Well, obviously the billionaire trope has always been huge and is huge in the romance novel. I personally don't see that going away. There have been some trends with more blue-collar heroes recently, with farmers, mechanics. Some people have had some really great success with those tropes. I personally love the billionaire trope. Obviously, you've seen that I've written, you know, even a rich journalist, which is about the biggest fantasy.
Unless we count Jeff Bezos, so yeah.
Right. Well, there's an idea. But I think that the billionaire trope will stay strong. I think there's enough people who really do love Donald Trump. A lot of romance readers are, possibly to my surprise, conservative. And they really like Donald Trump. And not that I'm surprised that they like Donald Trump. That people that love – I'll just leave it at that. And I think that
there's hypocrisy in everyone's life. I mean, on the outside, you're against this, you're against that. But on the inside, you secretly want this hot romance and erotic life. But you would never show that on the outside.
Sure. I mean, and I don't think that is just in terms of conservative women. But I do think that a lot of people, obviously, Trump is experiencing a honeymoon period right now. I think there's already been a few presidency romances this year, and one actually really good one called Prime Minister. It's about the Prime Minister of Canada. I mean, not about him, Justin Trudeau, but sort of loosely based on Justin Trudeau. Let's put it that way. That's been very popular.
Really? Women are hot for Justin Trudeau? I hadn't heard that.
Imagine that. So yeah, I think that the billionaire trope will continue on.
All right. So I want to ask you this. Having read now two of your three books, spent a lot of time in your head, especially in this book, where It literally seems like it's coming out of your head because of Emma's first-person voice. So I want you to take a minute and offer guys who might watch this, believe it or not, and who might be interested in this, how can guys be more romantic? How can they be more like the characters in your books. What kind of advice would you have for, you know, men to be more?
That's an interesting question. Well, first off, they should read romance because I think that romance gives men a blueprint to being romantic. The second thing is I found it interesting because obviously Tell Me a Story is only in the heroine's head. And some people didn't like that. Some people wanted Colin and Caleb's perspectives. They won't get Colin's perspective. It's all from the heroine in episode 6, by the way. But it's interesting because we know a lot about Emma. We know all of her feelings and thoughts and fears and what she's doing and where she's shopping and what she's eating. But what do we really know about Caleb? We know that he's rich. We know where he works. We know he has a family. We know he's loyal. And we know he reads. And we know he's really good in bed. Beyond that, we don't really know much about him, do we?
Oh, and you don't care any more than that last part, do you?
I don't know. I mean, the fact that he reads, people love the fact that he reads. People love the fact that he had a really big bookcase in his bedroom. They love that. So, men, you should read.
That's it. Bottom line, just read.
Bottom line, I think you should read, and I think you should read romance, and I think you should read different genres and read books by women to find out what women want.
Interesting. All right. And, you know, it's interesting as you were describing that, I was thinking, yeah, it would be really curious to go back and write the same story over again, but do the whole thing from Caleb's point of view. Have Caleb be the narrator of the book, especially as we hit that point that we're not going to describe where something dramatic happens. It would be great to get the whole story of their relationship from his point of view and have him tell the story. Even if you've read it and you know sort of what the high points are.
Well, obviously, that's exactly what E.L. James did with 50 Shades of Grey when she put out Grey. She put out Christian Grey's perspective. So if my novels, you know, sell as many, then you might see Caleb's perspective.
Fair enough.
But I will say this, you know, I intentionally made Caleb something of a manic pixie dream boy. And I intentionally made Colin the same thing. Both men are in the books are vehicles for Emma's growth. The story is about Emma and her growth. In that sense, that's the chick lit part of it. Really, Caleb's journey is secondary. That's the way it is. Caleb's journey is secondary, and he's really there only for her and only to support her journey.
So before we kind of wrap up, I just want to ask, has life changed much for you since you first, came out as a romance writer with Hot Shade, and now you've been doing this for a couple of books? Has your day life as a reporter, has it changed at all? Has it been any effect?
My day life as a reporter, no. I still go to work. I still write, you know, stories about homicides and hurricanes and the Pulse shooting. I mean, I've covered a lot of really tough stories this year personally. You know, the Pulse shooting absolutely was one. If anything, the day job has a big effect on my productivity or lack of productivity in the romance field. The Pulse shooting set me back a few months. I didn't want to write anything after that. I didn't feel like writing anything happy or pleasant after that. It was a pretty profound thing to cover, the largest mass shooting in America. And then, you know, there's other things that just leave you exhausted, like covering a small hurricane or, you know, other shootings or the election. I had to help out with some election. You know, it's all been fairly exhausting this year. So I would say that in some ways, romance doesn't affect my news, but news, you know, my day job still does affect my fiction writing.
I would recommend getting a lot of sleep in the coming year because I think you're going to need it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Excuse me. Last question. What are your fans like? I mean, you must have them by now. There's three books. What are they like, and have you had any interesting encounters?
Obviously, I meet a lot of them online, a lot of them on Facebook. I'm just starting to get a newsletter going, and you know, I've got the first few thousand people in my newsletter, and I'm starting to develop a rapport with them there. In terms of in-person, it's harder because I only do a few events. There aren't a ton of events. I'm hoping to change that next year. But everybody's been super nice and really kind. I did meet one of my fans, one of my early fans. Her name is Michelle Starling, and she lives in Stark, Florida. And I was actually up in Stark covering the last execution. It was either in December or January of December of last year or January of this year. And so I stayed overnight in Stark and we had breakfast the next day. And it was wonderful meeting up with her, and we just chatted, and now we're friends on Facebook, and it's wonderful.
Wait, you stayed overnight in Stark?
I did. I always stay overnight in Stark. Wow. Practically an execution.
You're a brave woman. But I think we knew that already. It was like, what, one motel in Stark? I
mean, no, there's a couple now. There's a couple. Right. And there's a really good place to get gravy and biscuits. So I like to go there in the morning.
All right. So I can't say that I'll be staying over in Stark anytime, but I will ask you. Oh, so where's the place for gravy and biscuits now that you mentioned it? We might as well give them a plug.
Okay, it's called Granny's. It's super tasty. It's like an old style, old country home diner.
There's Granny's up in Homosassa Springs. And
Maybe it's a local chain.
Yeah, there's a couple of them around. All right, good. All right, so we know you've got more work coming in the coming year. That's terrific. Folks, listen, you can find Tamara Lush's novels, Tell Me a Story and Hot Shade, in great bookstores everywhere. You can order them, or you can order either of them right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. You know how this works. If you're watching the video on MrMedia.com, left or right underneath the video, you'll see the cover of the book. You can click on it right now and have the book instantly via ebook. Or you can get it shipped to you probably overnight or 2 day, or maybe by drone in some areas. Tamara, tell folks how to find your website.
www.tamaralush.com, TamaraLush.com.
And that is her real name. Some people don't believe that. It sounds like a romance novel's name. Yep. All right. And you're on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and
all of that, yes. I'm really active on social media.
I was going to say, you're one of these writers in any genre who has really embraced the marketing side of it, whereas some people find that very difficult or distasteful. You are everywhere. It's very easy to find you.
It's time-consuming, and sometimes I would prefer to be writing. But yes, I Instagram a lot. I tweet a lot. I try to keep the Twitter mostly to journalism, and then Instagram – I think Instagram is probably the most fun place because I just post whatever. But and then Facebook, I have an author page and I have a personal profile. I'm hoping to maybe whittle some of it down in 2017 because it's just a lot. It takes up a lot of time.
It is demanding. All right. Listen, Tamara Lush, great book. Thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media again.
Thank you for having me again.
Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience full of real women who no longer believe any real men will ever match up to the super studs in the romance novels they read by the dozens in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida.
Hi, this is Rich Scheidner. If you've ever wondered what it was like to be a stand-up comedian in the 1980s, I'm going to do you a big favor. Instead of billions of dollars for a time machine, you can just spend $24.95 and buy my new book, Kicking Through the Ashes, My Life as a Stand-Up in the 1980s Comedy Boom. It will save you money and give you thrills. It will take you there. Go to my website, richscheidner.com. Go to amazon.com and buy this book.